Go with me in the Word of God, if you would, to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, as we continue looking into the subject of worship. And I'm finding more and more and more that so much of the Christian life centers around personal worship. Amen. And I trust you've given to that and devoted to that. And God has certainly helped this church, and I trust we continue and allow Him to work and help and to guide in and through us right here at Crossroads. If you would, Lamentations chapter number 3, verse number 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him, and putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. For though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crash under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sin? Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Now, Lord, I pray, God, tonight that you take me as your vessel. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit, that I might preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing to these thy people. Make a difference, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, crying not just because he was an emotional roller coaster, but crying because he was burdened over the state of God's people. The book Lamentations can also be known as the burden. Jeremiah was a man that watched God's people fall into sin and continue in their sin and refuse to repent of their sin. And then he watched them as they were judged for their sin. By the way, we serve a God who's still the same today. He still wants his people to walk according to his will, according to his word, according to his way. When God's people won't live according to God's command, they'll always suffer the consequences of their sin. Jeremiah was a man with a burden. He had preached to God's people, and it seemed that as he was preaching the truth, and as he was getting his revelation and his prophecy from the very mouth of God, as he was telling them the truth, as he was delivering to them the unadulterated word of God, it would seem that Jeremiah would have hastened the response from God's people of, thank you. We appreciate you telling us the truth. We appreciate you giving us God's word. In those times, to hear from God, you would hear from him through men of God that were prophets. By the way, today, if you hear from God, you will not hear by way of prophecy or foretelling. You will hear through the completed revelation of the word of God. And I'm glad I am not turning on television and tuning into some man that will speak my future or tell what is yet to happen. I'm glad that if I want to hear from God, I can open the 66 books of the word of God. All scriptures give my inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Thank God that this Bible is not only right, it's not only real, but in every age it's relevant. And it doesn't matter what the age or the genre or the trend or the fad of the status quo is of that day. I'm glad that the word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank God that although men are not standing today with prophecy, speaking of the future in the coming days, thank God that we're not blind. We're not lost. We're not lacking. There's no famine of the word. Thank God that as the grass withered, the flower fadeth, that the word of God shall endure forever. Somebody ought to say amen. And thank God for the Bible. No question about it. And Jeremiah is God's messenger in a day and age when there is no written word. There is no completed revelation. And he's waiting for somebody to say thank you. Somebody to appreciate him. The nation of Israel should have embraced his prophecies. They should have met it with great gratitude and great appreciation, for when they had strayed away from God, God had raised up a man to call them back to himself. And instead of hastening with the repentant spirit back to a loving God who really shouldn't have wanted them anyway, they continued to rebel. And Jeremiah says, I'm burdened about it. Burdened about it. I cry tears because the people that I love, the people of my own, the people to whom I've been called, they will not listen. I cannot imagine leading a ministry, and thank God I don't have to. I'm going to finish. I'm not done. I am leading a ministry. But that I don't have to, where you live and preach and don't see any results. The next time you find yourself wallowing around in the depths of despair because nobody listens to you, stop and think how gross of an exaggeration that is. Even when most don't, thank God somebody does. Here is Jeremiah living alone. Here, hey, what will you give me for giving you what God said? We'll lock you up. What will you give you? What will you give me for giving what God said? We'll ridicule you. How will you respond to me for being God's voice to you? We will mock you. You will be in derision daily. We will criticize you. We will put you down and lock you up and tie you up. That is our appreciation for your word from the Lord. So by the time we arrive at chapter 3, Jeremiah's about had enough of these people. You know, I'm getting a little tired, God, of being your voice and not being appreciated. If you read the book of Jeremiah chapter 20, you'll watch Jeremiah lamenting really out loud. It's almost to the point that he arrived at this conclusion: I will not make mention of his name anymore. His word is a reproach unto me. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. I cried violence and spoil, and nobody seems to respond. And Jeremiah said, I find myself, the more I preach, the more they dislike me. He's lower than he's ever been. I believe he's in a state of depression. And I believe that there are a lot of God's people that struggle with depression. I have no intention of preaching it from a medical standpoint. And some people need medical help. But most people need to get their heart right. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Could I tell you that the spiritual blessings of God, listen to me, I'm talking about the bounty of God's wealth, as good as it is. Let me tell you something. You are not rich enough to avail yourself of the luxury of depression. You are not spiritually rich enough to dive into the depths of depression. And some of us today are finding ourselves wallowing around and revisiting over and over again this state of depression. It has bankrupt us of our joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Over and over you find yourself a child of God, heaven bound, saved, redeemed, blood washed, and yet you're wallowing around in the depths of destitution and the downtroddenness of distress and despair. And you find yourself, oh me, oh my, nobody knows the trouble that I see. And if God would just change my circumstances and he would move things, and if he just get me out of this mess, I would get my life right with him. I'd get out of depression. And I'd say to you, the problem with your depression is not your circumstances. You having problems with this? Give me a fit. Right. The problem with your depression is not your circumstances. See, God doesn't need to change your circumstances to get you out of depression. One man said, look at yourself and you will be stressed. Look at your circumstances and you will be depressed. But look at God and you will be blessed. Come on now. Look at yourself and you will be stressed. Look at your circumstances and you will be depressed. But look at God and you will be blessed. Pastor, help me tonight. I'm trying to get out of depression. I wake up every day. I find myself faithful to God. By the way, this is not a message for those who have left church, quit church, wallow around in sin. There's a whole other message for you. You don't need to worship God. You need to get right with God. But for those who are faithful, they're in church, they're living for God, they're honoring God, yet you find yourself seeming like there's not enough blessings to balance all of the trials. I'm saying you tonight, the answer for your depression is not a moving of your circumstances or not a removal of all of your stress. You need to get your eyes off of you, get your eyes off of stuff, and get your eyes back on God. It is the renewed revival of the spirit of worship that worships our way out of depression. I want to deal with that tonight. Because I am running into more and more Christians who are depressed. Let me clarify such, because some of them are convinced they're not depressed because they've yet to use the term. But avoiding the term doesn't change the facts. Oh no, I've never been depressed. No, you just never called it that. Well, how do I know if I'm depressed? I'm glad you asked. When you're suffering from severe despondency and dejection, accompanied by the feelings of hopelessness and inadequacy, it is a condition of mental disturbance, typically with a lack of energy and difficulty in maintaining concentration or interest in life. Would you like me to say that again? I'd be glad to. Severe despondency and dejection, accompanied by feelings of hopelessness and inadequacy. I feel like I can't be a good Christian. I can't live this victorious life. A condition of mental disturbance. Listen to me. It's typically accompanied by a lack of energy and difficulty in maintaining concentration or interest in life. And I look at some believers on one Sunday. They're ready to charge hell with a super soaker. And a week later, they're not even sure they want to come to church anymore. On the next Sunday, they're shouting during the choir Sunday. And the next Sunday, they're asleep during the message. And I asked you, did God change? Did Jesus vacate his place on the throne? Did the Holy Spirit decide to retire? No, no, no. You just lost your sight of God and started looking at something else. Listen to me. The best of us can plummet into depression. Here's Jeremiah. I'm telling you what. You reach out three. You mean tell me he's not despondent, dejected, hopeless, inadequate, loss of energy, disturbed? Absolutely. But I'm trying to tell you, if you read through the rest of chapter 3, you're going to find out he didn't stay there. And neither should you. You do not have to be depressed. Listen to me. I'm not here to give you a loan tonight. I'm not going to give you a bailout tonight. I'm not going to give you any financial advice. I'm just going to tell you, when you're depressed, worship the Lord. Let me say that when you're depressed, worship the Lord. You say, how am I going to get out of this? You're going to worship your way out of it. You can get your mind off your money and get your mind on Jesus. You can get your mind off your child and get your mind on Jehovah. You can get your mind off your circumstances and get your mind on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, there has to be a continuity and a constancy in the Christian life. Everything is fluctuating. Everything is shifting. Everything is up and down. Everything is contingent upon circumstance and weather and this, that, and the other. But I'm glad that who God is, it's not based on what's happening in the world. It's not based on the political stream. It's not based on the shifting and fluctuating economy. It's not based on the styles and the trends and the status quo. I'm glad that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And some of you, are going to have to worship your way out of depression. By the way, lest you think, since you're not depressed, you can tune out of this message, let me supply an application for you. You say, I'm not depressed, so I don't need to worship my way out of depression. No, but maybe you just need to worship depression out of your way. Because if you're not worshiping out of depression, then you need to worship depression out of you. Because here's what I'm saying. Because if you're not worshiping, eventually you will be. Because there's enough trouble to get you down. There's enough mess to get you distressed. There's enough issues to steal your joy as long as you're looking at them. But let me tell you something. We serve a God that's big enough. He'll supersede all those things. We serve a God that's great enough. He's bigger than all those things. You've got to get your mind on the Lord. I love Lamentations chapter 3 because nothing in Jeremiah's life changes. But his depression does. Worshiping our way out of depression. Let's see how far along we get through this tonight. Number one, how do I worship my way out of depression? Number one, it's going to take a recollection of God's compassion. Please don't miss me here. A recollection. This is what Jeremiah is trying to say. By the way, this is to the child of God. This is not written to the lost man. The lost man can't recollect God's compassion because he's yet to experience it in the way that the believer has. But a recollection, Jeremiah says, this I recall. You go in your Bible and read through Lamentations chapter 3, all of those verses up to this verse, this I recall. And you listen as Jeremiah categorizes the validity of his depression. Listen as to how he feels God is treating him when in reality he's the right one and the people are the wrong. Is anybody in here going to be transparent enough to admit to me tonight that sometimes it feels like you're the one doing right but God is treating you wrong? And if you've never felt that way, you're way too spiritual for Crossroads. Because the rest of us have to admit tonight that when we stumble back into the yesteryear of our carnality, we start acting like God isn't doing it justly. And here I am working hard and living for you and on that bus route and on that visitation and living for God and bringing my tithe every week to the Lord. And I'm raising my children right and I'm being faithful to God. And this is what I get. How fooey with this Christian life. How miserable. Miserable. Out of energy. I cannot concentrate. You want to know whether or not you can concentrate? Ask your pastor. He's the one looking at you while he's preaching. I'll let you know if you're struggling with concentration. You say, why ask me? Because most people that can't concentrate don't know they can't concentrate because they can't concentrate long enough to discover their lack of concentration. Listen, depression will have you aloof and too aloof to know you're aloof. I'm telling the truth. You're out of it and can't sense you're out of it. I've watched people wander off right in front of me and didn't know that they weren't there anymore. E.T. phone home. What happens? They have no energy. They have no drive. They have no desire for ministry. They've quit giving. They've quit serving. They've quit singing. And if they haven't quit singing, by the way they look, they should. There's no energy. There's no concentration. There's no drive. And by the way, please do not display Christianity like that, because that is not what the Bible calls Christianity. You don't tolerate the Lord. You enjoy the Lord. When you're depressed, you can't even focus. So here's what Jeremiah says. This I recall. Listen. Christians that are depressed don't need to discover God. They need to rediscover God. Come on, say amen. Because there was a time when you knew it. There was a time when you worshiped because of it. And all of a sudden, God didn't change. No. But your circumstances changed. So Jeremiah said, this I recall. Right now, there must be thoughtful contrast. This I recall. There is a shift in his thinking. Hear me now. There's a shift in his thinking. This I recall to my what? This I recall to my what? Talk to me. This I recall to my. The seed of depression is always initially sown in the mind. Satan has sown the seed of depression in your mind. Amen. And you know what you start doing? You let it germinate. So now you're thinking about it. Yeah, you know, I really do deserve better than that. I mean, God should have something in my mailbox today. After all I've done for him. So watch this now. If the seed of depression has been sown in your mind and now it's growing, the only way to run depression out of your mind is to go back to where it started. So he says, this I recall to my mind. So if the seed of depression has been sown in my mind, I must have a thoughtful contrast. I've got to change the way I think. I hope you take notes and write that down tonight. If I'm struggling with depression, I have to change the way I think. Because if I think about all my problems all day long, then that's all that's going to be on my mind. He said, this I recall to my mind. There's a thoughtful contrast right now also, but there is tender care. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That is the tender care of the Lord. When I think of mercy, I think of delicate, gentle care of Almighty God. It is of the Lord's mercy. Mercy is God withholding from me that which I deserve. Grace is God giving me that which I do not deserve. You cannot have one without the other. And thank God for the twins of grace and mercy. But Jeremiah says, I begin to pause and I understand that in all of my problems, and I'm getting beat up, I'm getting slapped around, I'm getting whipped, I'm getting ridiculed, I'm getting stomped on and kicked and spat at, but I begin to realize in my mind there is somebody that still is loving on me and caring for me and treating me right and gently handling me and nursing me and orchestrating my recovery. And when I get my mind off my problems and my mind on his mercy, I'm coming out of this. The tender care is of thy mercy. By the way, these are sovereign mercies. It is of the Lord's, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, your King James, that is indicative of Jehovah. It is of the Lord's mercies
I'm not getting mercy from my boss, mercy from my mom, mercy from my preacher. I'm getting mercy from my God. It's the only thing that's going to get me out of this. You think you get, you really think you get a better job, you're going to lose your depression? Give me a figure. If I get this amount of money, I'm going to lose my depression. I guarantee you the amount will change once you get the first amount you said. Or if I move, as soon as I move this dream place, and as soon as I get me a husband. Trust me, there are a whole lot of wives in here to tell you that won't solve your problem. Honey, don't fool yourself. All right? The thoughtful contrast, the tender care, write down the true consistency of God. The true consistency of God. Here's what Jeremiah begins to get a kick out of. Not only does God treat me good, but God treats me good all the time. The true consistency of God. It is of thy mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And here's what he's saying. The care of God, hear me now, is first of all fresh. It is new every morning. And this is what he's saying. There'll never be a day where I run out of the care of God. There will never be a day where God stops treating me good. There'll never be a day and say, oh no, I used up all my God minutes. I used up all my mercies. I exhausted all of God's love for me. Jeremiah says, when my mercy account is depleted at 11:59, at 12, it gets filled up again. They're fresh and they're faithful. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Here he is. The dependability of God. The constancy of God. For the word faithfulness. The reliability of God. The trustworthiness of God. Amen. The ever-readiness of God. Amen. He's always there. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy... I know, Pastor. I know. Yeah, but if you're not thinking about it, then you're drowning in depression. Number two. Not only a recollection of God's compassion, second, a realization of God's character. Now, how do we know that we're talking about God's character? When you hear statements like this, the Lord is. The Lord is. Hey, his compassion is how he treats me. His character is who he is. The Lord is. And by the way, the significance of what the Lord is what creates what the Lord does. Some folks are so caught up on God does, and they fail to realize there is no God does if there is no God is. Amen. And he got Moses straight on that quickly, because Moses was coming up with all of the reasons why he couldn't do what God had just told him he wanted him to do, and God didn't respond and say, let me tell you what I'm going to do. God responded by telling him who he is. I am that I am. Whatever you're not, I am. And by the way, the strongest thing God can ever say to you is, I am. I still love that time when Jesus had just gotten up out the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring his heart out to his Father with sweat drops of blood as he agonized over becoming sin for you and me. If it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And as his greatest supporters are there asleep, and finally he wakes up ready to depart from that garden. And then he is met by soldiers who are accompanied by one of his very own, Judas Iscariot. And Judas is coming, who he sold out for 30. 30 pieces of silver to betray his own Messiah who will save him from his sin. And all of a sudden, these soldiers, as they're approaching Jesus, say, who is the Son of Man? Or who claims to be the Son of Man? And I love as Jesus responds. The King James Bible says, I am he. He is in italics, which the interpreters put in the scripture to provide for clarification. But in the original Greek, it doesn't say, I am he. It says, I am. And Jesus said, I am. And bam, they fell down like dead men. The strongest of masculinity can't shake a stick at God's divinity. I am. The Lord is. What is he, Jeremiah? My portion. In the Hebrew, the word is kelek. Here's what it means. He is my allotment. I don't read the Bible because it's boring. Are you kidding me? The Lord's my portion. Okay, let me see if I can practice. You walk into a field of wealth, and the owner says, let me mark this off, carve this out, designate this as such, stipulate and specify this piece as yours. It's your inheritance. Here's what I like about my inheritance. Nobody else can have it. Nobody else can spend it. Nobody else can touch it. Nobody else can take it. I don't have to share my inheritance. It's mine. Well, I want mine. Get your own. The Lord is my allotment. He is my inheritance. Now, listen. He is my portion. Listen to me. He's been carved out for me. He is El Shaddai. He is all that I need. He is all sufficient. You say, what is God? I'll tell you, he is enough. Amen. So, the next time you struggle with depression, remember the character of God. He is your allotment. Kelek. He has been divvied off. You. Oh, you know why I'm depressed? I don't have nothing. Are you kidding me? You have everything. The Lord is your kelek. He is your portion. How long? Forever. Have you lost any money lately? In something? Some investment? Some stock? Some would-be has-been? Some of you say, Pastor, I've lost no money, ain't had nothing to lose. Can I tell you something? God is not only your portion, but God will always be your portion. He's mine. He's mine. He's mine. He did not become Jeremiah's portion in Lamentation 3. He was already Jeremiah's portion in Lamentation 3, but in Lamentations 3, Jeremiah began to realize it, and it helped him get out of depression. And I'm trying to establish to you tonight, you don't need God to do something new. You need to rehearse what he's already done. You don't need God to become a new person. You need to rejoice in the God he already... I wish somebody helped me preach. You don't need God to take on new attributes and to learn a new trade. You don't need God to do some new tricks and to try a new mechanism on you. You need to pause and realize, just who is this God that I have? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nisi, my better. Jehovah Ra'a, my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is my peace. Shammah, the Lord who is present. Shalom, my peace. Sidkenu, my righteousness. He is all, and he's in all. And watch this now. He is mine. You want to pay buku dollars to let some shrink tell you how good of a person you are. You're so good. Say, I'm good.
I'm good.
There you go. I'm wonderful.
I'm wonderful.
I'm a champion.
I'm a champion.
By the way, this is New Age counselor. By the champ, climb on top of a building and jump, scream. I believe I can fly. Go ahead and sing it. It'd be the last thing people heard you say before you die. You will not fly. I don't care how well you sing it. Flap your wings. Getting out of depression is not discovering how great you are. It is discovering how great God is. And the fact that He's your God and the world wants things to be better so that you can feel better. You don't need things to be better so that you can feel better. You don't need better things. You need to realize you've got the best thing. He is my portion. Yes, it means He's my gift. God, my gift. Watch this now. God not only a gift to me, God is good to me. The Lord is good. I'm closing, unfortunately. The Lord is good. Yeah. By the way, can I go back 24? Thank you. You don't have to prepare the speech for the time when I ask that and you say no. Hopefully I never have to give. Can I go back to absolutely not? Be quiet. Can I show you something now? No. I'm always waiting for that to come. Oh. The Lord is good. But go back to 24. I like this. The Lord is my portion. Okay? Now, don't negate the parenthetical portion of the Scripture because you think that they are of no substance. I like this. The Lord is my portion. And I like this next word. Saith my soul. The innermost being, the soul, is comprised of the mind, the emotions, and the will. And the Lord took in the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. With his breath, a spirit, and man became a living soul. Thessalonians, that you may be preserved holy, body, soul, spirit. Trichotomy. Here's, save my soul, my mind, my emotions, and my will. So it is not said flippantly, it's said passionately. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. I just need to get to somebody to give me a good word. Then you get to yourself and get a good word about God from your own self. I need counseling. Yes, you do. You need to counsel yourself. Some people need counseling from godly people. But sometimes the best counseling you get is counseling you've already gotten. Now let me tell you what you need. No, let you tell you what you need. The Lord is my portion. Saith my soul. I love Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? And you think somebody has walked into this lonely corridor of mentality with David saying, David, now why are you depressed? David, why are you depressed? Guess what? Nobody walked in there. There was David talking to David. Hey, David, what's wrong with you? I don't know, David. Well, get your mind right, David. Yes, sir, David. What's wrong with you? Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within? Hope thou in God. The Lord, my gift. The Lord, my goodness. The Lord, my grace. He's good to me. Favorable. Benevolent. Pleasant. He's good to me. That's what He is. And because that's what He is, that's what He does. You don't have to start thinking. Listen. You keep checking your account. As the foundation for your removal of depression. Keep waiting on the person that gets on your nerves to actually start treating you right. For the eradication of your depression. Keep waiting for your dream house, your dream car, your dream guy. No man will get you out of depression. But God can. And then that God that got you out of depression can give you a good man. Amen. Amen. I don't know what you said, but amen. The mental state of despondency, rejection. And even if you're not in full-blown depression, ask yourself, do you have depressing moments, depressing days, depressing phases, depression-like instances? All those terms you don't want to claim. Sad. Oh, he got me. All of you were saying, no, no, no. Sad. Ask yourself, do you find yourself spiritually deplete of energy and concentration? I know that I need to be soul winning. I know that I should be giving a mission. I know that I need to be singing. Because all of the negativity in my life has sucked it to drive out of me. And I'm going to get out of it. Change my breakthrough coming. I'm next in line for a miracle. No, you're not. I don't care what Shirley C. told you. You are not next in line. And you don't need to be next in line to get out of depression. You don't need to be in line to get out of depression. You need to go back to your file cabinets and not find out when your spot is in line for your next miracle. But you need to go back and get a kick out of the miracle. Those on the webcast that you've already received. I don't want God's people to be depressed. And I don't want to be depressed. I don't even claim the word. I really don't. There's some words in my vocabulary that I just choose not to use. Depression is one of them. Tired is another. There's a few claim it. I found out some people are looking for a chance to be tired. And if you just start to say tired, they finish you. It's the first thing in the morning. God help them 4 hours later. Keep telling yourself you're tired. You need to start acting like it. Amen. You're so bad off. You're so miserable. There's no way you can be happy in the D.C. area. And you will not get better until there's a change. You're right. But the change needs to come in your mind. Next week we'll finish this. Next week is. Thank you. It's a good night. I may do it next Tuesday. I'll see. Some of you won't be here next Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Y'all want me to wait till next week to finish it? Okay. Thank you, Shanetta. Shanetta speaks for the crowd. We'll preach on Thanksgiving next week, and we'll get back to this in a couple weeks. And I want you to hear the end of this, because Jeremiah goes from God is good, and then he goes from it is good. So, because God is good, I'm learning there's some good things I need to do as we go. Give me that next time. By God's grace. Father, we thank you.